Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
It's always good to have out with the old, in with the new, especially when it comes to replacing bad habits with good ones. Running life's race at top speed means having a mind filled with the Word of God. Today, we'll discover the key to overcoming bad habits, Scripture meditation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series entitled, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Pastor Lutzer comes now to conclude developing habits of righteousness. From Colossians chapter 3, we're learning how to overcome sinful habits.
Learn verses of Scripture and begin to memorize those verses of Scripture, or else take them and put them on 3x5 cards and have them in your car or at work where you can glance at them. And constantly be filling your mind with the Word of God, relating specifically to the problems that you face. And suddenly you'll discover that your thought patterns will begin to change, and you'll be able to think righteous thoughts rather than evil ones. You know the best way to take air out of a bottle is not to invent some sort of a huge vacuum pump, though I suppose that's possible. Simply to pour water into the bottle does the job much better. And if you think that your mind can somehow be delivered from the sinful habits that you have by simply living in a vacuum, you are wrong. You will return to those sinful habits, and your latter state will be worse than your former, because God wants to change us. And he does it through the renewing of the mind. You know that verse in Philippians? Paul doesn't say, now folks, don't think evil thoughts. He says that. But many, many more times often he says things like this, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. So it is not a matter of renouncing only, it is a matter of putting on the new habits of righteousness and the new thought patterns that God wants to give you. There's a third thing in this passage, and that is this. We should reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. Notice this, it says, in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. You see, when we face temptation, we must recognize that Jesus Christ has already won a legal victory over the sin that plagues you. Legally, that sin has been broken because he took you from being in Adam and he put you into Jesus Christ. And in the process of breaking that old relationship and forming anew, there is no jurisdiction that sin no longer can have over you legally. Years ago, when slavery was abolished in Jamaica, I understand that there were many slaves in the remote areas who did not know that their day of emancipation had come. Consequently, all over Jamaica, in some of the areas, there were still people who were operating and living like slaves and being obedient to their masters and all the rest. Simply out of ignorance, they did not know that slavery had been abolished. Now, in the very same way, if we are ignorant regarding the totality of the work of Jesus Christ, we will have a tendency in our lives to keep obeying the old master when really he has no right to rule us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he won a legal victory so that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. But the Bible says here, consider yourselves to be dead to the works of the flesh. And you can do that. You can do that. Now, this is the answer to the problem of self-effort that I told you about a moment ago. It is not a matter of me saying, I determine no longer to do this sin. At best, that can only be the first small step in the right direction. But what you must do is say, I determine to visualize, I don't mean physically visualize, but I determine to visualize myself as being victorious in Jesus Christ. And I have decided to shift the focus of my attention not so much to the struggle that is going within my heart as the victory that was accomplished on the cross. And I keep focusing my attention to that, and I will determine to do that. You know, I have found sometimes that when I face temptation, I don't have the strength to be able to say, I turn from that temptation. But it's an amazing thing. This is just a personal experience, and you might find it to be different. But I do have sometimes, in the moments of facing temptation, I do have the strength to say, Lord Jesus, I look in your direction. Now, in looking at the direction of Jesus Christ and considering Him and reckoning myself to be dead, I am turning from sin, but it is not merely a bare turning from iniquity. It is a positive turn towards Jesus Christ, and Christ helps us to do that, and that's why our will becomes stronger as we develop as a habit of righteousness looking to Jesus Christ and the victory that was settled there. You remember the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, Joshua was in the battle with the Amalekites. And the Bible says that Moses went onto the mountain and he began to pray and he began to intercede. And Moses had his arms raised, and as long as Moses had his arms raised, Joshua prevailed. And when Moses had his hands down, Amalek prevailed. In fact, Hur and Aaron, who were up on the mount, they helped Moses keep his hands in the air. Where was the real battle taking place? The real battle was taking place on the mountain. It was not taking place in the valley. What was being done on the mountain was being translated into personal victory in the valley, but the real issue was being settled on the hilltop where Moses was interceding for his people. Now, the more clearly we are able to see that it is at the cross that the issue was settled, the real big issues of life were settled there, the more easily we will be able to embrace that victory for ourselves and say, I take that as mine. Despite the struggle that is going on within me, I keep looking to the cross and thanking God that sin was defeated there. And then by means of the Holy Spirit, the victory that Jesus Christ accomplished will be translated into the personal experience of our own lives. If I could summarize this sermon in a single sentence, it would simply be this: walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I meet so many people who don't want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. People who cry up to God for deliverance that they might be free from these things, and they don't seem to be delivered because there's only one way to do it, and that is to positively, actively, consciously, deliberately walk in the Spirit, refocusing your whole values in life and recognizing that what God wants to do in your life is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, and your temptation or habit is but a step in that direction. And He wants you to change your whole thought patterns through the assimilation and the meditation in the Word of God. And He wants you to constantly see the greatness of Jesus Christ's victory on the cross. I'll tell you, I get a little weary about preachers who tell people that all that they have to do is really yield to God, and that's the end of it. There is no one experience that will decisively end your temptations. In fact, you've got to learn to live with temptation. We're going to talk about that next week. You've got to learn to accept it as a way of life, but you've got to learn to handle it the way in which God wants. But once we begin to establish a systematic program of applying these scripture to our lives, we will see that some of the habits that we have struggled with so long will sort of fall by the wayside like leaves in the spring when the new life of a tree begins to break forth. Not one isolated act, though it begins there, but a whole different direction and a whole different pattern of the way of life. Psychologists tell us that it takes 21 days to break an old habit and to begin anew. I hope it won't take you that long, though for some of you it might take that long. It might take a long time to lay aside the garments of the flesh and begin to establish patterns of righteousness. There are some of you here, if you're really, really, really fed up with your sin, if you're really desperate, some of you could stop your losing streak tomorrow. If you began each day affirming your position in Jesus Christ, meditating in the Word, and asking God for wisdom to see what He'd like to do in your life, He will take that sinful habit and it will be broken, but in its place, there will be righteousness. There will be habits of godliness and great spiritual maturity. Look at that habit as a stepping stone, not a stumbling block, but a stepping stone toward knowing the Lord God. Walk in the Spirit, Paul says, and then you'll break those sinful habits. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we thank You that Your Word says that You have given to us everything that is necessary for godliness. We thank You, Father, that there is no sinful habit that anyone is involved in, no matter how many years they've been involved in it, that You cannot break. And Father, we know that sometimes You do not break it because You want them to see a much larger picture as to what You'd really like to do in their lives and how You'd like to use this. And we pray for ourselves, Father. Many of us have sinful habits. Many of us have patterns of behavior that we think we cannot change. And we know that You want to. And we pray, Lord, that You might make us open and ready to respond to what You would like to do in our hearts through the cross and through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
My friend, do you see how important it is for us to change our mindset? Rather than thinking we have to be in a rut and live there forever or as long as we live, the fact is this: God has provided resources to help us. In my book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit, the thing that I emphasize is that the heart lies at the root of our behavior. And God changes the heart, and this means that we have new desires, we have new aspirations, and we have a new vision as to what life is all about. I believe that this resource will be of tremendous help for you. And after you've read it, pass it along to others, because I believe they too will be blessed.
A life filled with patterns of righteousness has no room for bad habits. Pastor Erwin Lutzer has just concluded Developing Habits of Righteousness, the third of four messages in his series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.